Welcome to Thrive Church Online. We are here to know God, to grow in Him, and go. We hope you feel encouraged and equipped through this week's message.
Yeah, come on. Listen, you better be more excited about that to make Jesus famous. I'm just going to say that. Like if all you got is a golf clap, you probably ain't where you need to be. Can I get a witness from somebody? Like if all you got is bravo, that ain't where it's at. Hey, can I just say, first of all, great job, worship team. Y'all crushed it. I love watching JC on the drums because he is like, anybody just get lost watching him? I'm like, dude, you are loving Jesus and banging on him drums. I mean, like, for real. So JC, thank you for serving so much. Yeah, absolutely. You can. I wouldn't wish Marvin a happy birthday, but he's on our online campus leading it this morning. He hates attention. So, yeah, I'm going to pay for that later. Anyway, so, man, today's a special day. First of all, today, and this could probably be the last time I say this, is in both of our services today, is this is the first service really where New Vision and Thrive come under one umbrella to be Thrive Church. So can we give those folks just a round of applause? We've got some folks here in first service. Be sure if there's somebody here that you don't know, and this is whether we're, you know, unifying or not, make sure that you walk up and stick your hand out and go, hi, my name is, who are you, how are you, how can we connect? Because there's nothing worse than being in a church where you don't know anybody and you're not connected and you just walk around aimlessly trying to, like, does that make sense? That's not making Jesus famous. You're just making people lost. And Jesus said, I came to seek and save that which was lost. That's in a spiritual context, but that's not limited to a spiritual context. Because people will never come to know Jesus if they don't feel comfortable in the environment they're in. So that's part of what we do. But today is special on a bunch of levels, so we got that going on. By the way, I'm just going to go ahead and encourage you to do a couple of things. As we look at launching a second location, here's what we need to do. One, you need to pray about giving extra because I'm going to be spending extra. No, like that's not a joke. That's a thing. So we need you to pray about that. We also need you to pray about volunteering one night a week as a family to come over and paint. If you cannot paint, please do not paint. Can I just say that? I love Jesse Knepp. Jesse Knepp can build anything. I don't want him within 500 miles of a paint bucket. He paints like a blind man on caffeine. But he can build anything. And matter of fact, Jesse and JC and Michael were over yesterday, scraped the whole parking lot, got all the weeds and stuff out that we could. Yeah, give them a round of applause. We're going to come back and spray. Man, you need to get involved because I'm not building a building. I told y'all from day one, I don't do buildings. I did not follow Jesus to be a general contractor. But together we accomplish things. Michael, come on, from the beginning. We've been tearing out walls, painting. Jesse, come on. Now, here's the thing. We plan on launching the first service in the new building on Mother's Day. Come on. Ain't no way to celebrate Mama like a good decorated house of the Lord. So, we're going to have a coffee truck, God willing, there. We're going to have all kinds of stuff. It's going to be a celebration. We are going to absolutely throw down and party that weekend. And so you just need to make plans to attend. But also what makes today special is this is the last service that we get to do something. This is the last time that I can look at JC and Liz and Jay and just call them by their first name because I believe in honor. They are being ordained second service at the end. So either watch online or hang around and just hear the message twice because it's never the same. And it's fair. But they're getting ordained today, and that is the end of just about a 2-year journey for them, where they have just been through the ringer and thrown into situations that they you don't have to be that honest, JC. JC, they're here going, that's all right. Yep, that's what he did to us. But really, we have set them up well to pastor and to lead and to do all those things. We are ever expanding our team because I believe this is our heart. I believe that God has called us to create a global impact, and it starts from a rural revival. Our heart is not to build one big mothership that everybody comes to and look how big we are. This ain't about us. We can't try to make us famous and Jesus famous at the same time. Those two things contend. So what we're going to do is we're going to go into the highway and into the byway, and we're going to plant churches, and we're going to keep people connected, because I don't want you to be able to come in here and leave unnoticed. I want somebody hounding you like they're trying to sell you some Amway or some, come on, or some essential oils. I want them on you. Because we believe this, that following Jesus is never meant to be done alone. We only do it with hands and hearts locked together. And if one of us falls, the rest of us are there to pick them up. Come on, Jesus. Come on, somebody. We don't do this by ourselves. So today we're going to talk a little bit about what's for lunch, because after our second service, we're taking our ordination people out, and we're going to honor them with a lunch. But it come on, Jay, you stop it. I'm going to preach. Matthew chapter 14, 15 through 21 is going to be our primary text today. So Matthew chapter 14, beginning in verse 15. And I'm just going to do a little bit of teaching a little different than what I normally do, but I want to read this in its entirety and then circle back. It said, "Now when it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, 'This is a desolate place. And now the day is over. Send the crowds away into the villages and buy food for themselves.'" Here's the thing. Don't ever tell Jesus what to do. Yeah. "When it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, 'This is a desolate place. And the day is over now. Send the crowds away to go into the villages to buy food for themselves.'" Jesus is like, "Don't tell me what to do." We tell Jesus what to do all the time. "Jesus, I need you to show up right now." You know why? Because you trust your timing more than you trust God's timing. You trust your ability to tell God when to show up, not His ability. Can I just say this? God is never going to do anything the way that you expect Him to. Because otherwise, He becomes a genie and a magic trick, not a Lord and Savior. He can be a Savior to some people, but not a Lord. They're not okay with Him leading. If you're going to follow Jesus, I mean really follow Jesus, you got to let Jesus be the leader. I hate this. "God is my co-pilot." Well, you're going to wreck. If all you're doing is, look, only one of us can be in charge. Anybody ever try to do something with their wife, but you didn't establish who was leading? I made up the bed this week. You don't have to clap for that. I'm proud of myself. No, I really don't. When I got done, my wife came in and told me I did it wrong. I'm like, now look, I'm not the sharpest cat in the room, right? I can tell when a bed's made up. She said, no, you got the pillows in the wrong order. I'm relatively sure that there is not an, like, I had the fancy ones in the front. I had two matching ones on top. I feel like I just passed the test. And she went, I said, now look, don't ask me to do something and then come in and tell me how to do it. Ain't no man in here going to amen me. It's like this. It's like if I look at you and go mow the yard and I come home and you've scalped everything, I just need to shut up. You mowed the yard. I told you. Now, if I said mow it on a 3 and you mowed it on a 1, that's on you. If you told me to order the pillows, I would have ordered the pillows. You said make the bed. You ever feel like Jesus is like that with us? Is like, look, you prayed and asked me to take care of this, but now you're complaining about the way I organized the bed. Anyway, that wasn't even part of my message. That was all free. But Jesus said, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." And they said, "We only have 5 loaves here and 2 fish." And He said, "Well, bring them to me." And He ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. This ain't in my message either. Sometimes what you have to do is tell your problem to sit down while Jesus deals with it. Because the problem isn't solved. He's just like, you need to calm down. You ever got a problem? Most people make mistakes when they get a problem and they start trying to fix it in a hurry. Sometimes you just got to look and be like, my son called me this morning coming off shift. He got 30 minutes sleep last night and he got up to a dead battery. He said, well, I guess Ford was right when they said the battery was a little weak. And I said, well, look, I'm on my way to charge it. I said, but here's the thing. Relax. You ain't going anywhere. Sometimes the Lord got to kill your battery to keep you still. You know, somebody may have blown a red light. Look, how about you trust His hand or trust His heart when you can't figure out what His hand's doing? How about you just sit down in some grass and just Anyway, okay. That ain't in my message notes either. Here we go. I don't even know where I'm at. Oh, sit down and grass. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing. Then he broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples. And the disciples gave them to the crowd. And they all ate and were satisfied. I should have highlighted that too. And they took up the 12 full baskets of the broken pieces left over. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, women, and children. I have people all the time ask me if I believe in prosperity doctrine. In some ways, yes. In some ways, no. I don't think God wants you to have an airplane, everybody. Some of y'all don't even need to fly commercial. But I do think that God is a God of excess. He said, I want you to have exceedingly abundantly above that you can ask, think, or believe. But here's the thing. Some people can't handle it. God is never going to give you what you can't handle. You have to have the character to match up the blessing. Otherwise, God just raises a brat. You don't like a brat. God doesn't like a brat. I think that God will let you have what you can steward that you can have that doesn't have you. Some people, if you won the lottery today, that money would own you. You would become its slave. Some people that are broke are slave to money. Okay, I'm not even going down that road. This ain't even it. Okay, so we're going to start back at the beginning. It said that they were in a desolate place. Desolate places are also are oftentimes subjective based on your perspective. Have you ever noticed that when you really read the Bible, God does so much in the desolate places? Why do we try to get out of them so quick? Have you ever just been in a place where you're like, God, I have no idea what you're doing in this season? Like, I feel broken. I feel all this stuff. I'm in this desolate place. And what God said is this. He's like, man, what you see is a valley. What you see is a thing. What I see is dry bones. Remember when the Spirit of the Lord led the prophet down into the spirit of dry bones? He said, man, son of man, prophesy and tell me what you see. And I love what he said. I don't know what you see. What the prophet teaches us is this. We have to gain God's perspective before formulating our own. Now I'm going to say that again. You have to get God's perspective before you formulate your own. He said, son of man, can these bones live again? He said, I don't know. You God. And what the prophet teaches us is don't you call something dead that I didn't finish. And then he said, hey, what I want you to do is I want you to prophesy out of these dry bones and raise them up because they're about to become an army. Here's the thing. You can't give up on the things that God told you about just because you're in a dry place. Just because you're in this season where it's not working out. Just because you don't know what's going on doesn't mean that you quit. And so what happens is this. What a lot of people do is they get to that desolate place, but they don't stop God to ask him what he thinks, what he sees, and what he wants to do. Then it says this, the disciples said, they need to go away. You need to give them, you give them something to eat was the balance here. And what I think is this, is that a lot of times we look up and we go, hey God, somebody's got to do something. Boy, you need to send them somewhere where somebody can do something. I was talking about this to one of our guys. So I've got a heart to plant a church in the western part of our county. I think it's an underserved part of our community that really needs a thriving church. That was not a pun, but a pun. And here's the thing, because I see a need there, and I'm not asking God to send somebody else. I'm going, God, can you make a way where there doesn't seem to? I don't know how we're going to do it. I don't know how we're getting there. How are we going to get there? I don't know. I reckon the Lord will show us. But he put the need. And what I'm saying is, God, how many times do we pray that God will send somebody to him when you're the somebody? If you see a need, you probably play part of the answer to meeting that need through Christ. Stop it. Stop it. You know what I think church should be like? Where are you volunteering at? Can I say this? Nowhere in the Bible does God call you to sit on your John Brown behind. He has never said that. He's never said, oh, and you know what it takes to be a saint of God? Keep the same seat every week. No, you need to get up and move around. Besides that, you wear one of our chairs out. We have to replace it. People look at me all the time and go, you know what? I retire. I retire. I just want to relax. I'm like, you know what biblical retirement is? Death. All it is. If you retired, it just means you got all kinds of time to volunteer and you ain't on any pay schedule. Show up and get to it when you get to it. You know, you want to put a stamp on? You got all day. You know why? Because you retired. But you know what? God, your wisdom is something that the kingdom of God needs. Now, if you're young, God still wants to use you. Yeah, but I got babies. Well, that's okay. Bring them with you. Papoose them suckers. They need to grow up seeing you work in the house of the Lord. Because here's the... Yeah, come on. Because it is not about... It is not about what somebody else needs to do. It's about you. This is your season. I believe this. You were created for such a time as this. You are here to make Jesus famous because you are on the planet breathing. I hear people all the time go, this is such a rough season to be alive in. I'm like, man, but you're here. And if you're here, you got a reason for being here. So suck it up, buttercup, and get to work. You don't have to like it. You don't have to. You don't have to get up and go, oh, Joey, I get to go wrestle a bear or a tiger or kill a Goliath. But guess what? God gave you a rock and a sling. Go. I'll teach you on that another day. But anyway, so here's what I think. I think that you have something to offer. Because here's what they said. They said this. They said, but we only have 5 loaves here. And 2 fish. We only have. You ever notice that when you decide to say yes is the minute you figure out how unqualified you are? Oh God, you know, I'd love to do something, but not me. All I am, all I have. God, you got to be asking somebody else because all I got. Let me ask you a question. When are you going to look and figure out that God doesn't call the qualified? He qualifies the called. When are you going to figure out that God doesn't look for the person with excess, He looks for the person with obedience? That none of us are naturally born to do everything that God called us to do, but we're naturally called by supernatural power to do things that are exceedingly abundantly above anything that we could do on our own, not so that we could get glory, so that God could. God loves using people that go, all I got is a little, you know, all I got's a slingshot. I can't wear Saul's armor. I can't do this. I can't do this. And God's like, boy, sling you slingshot. I'll make your shot true, but I need you to take your shot. I need you to operate in what God called you to do and stop telling me what you don't have. I love Michael last week. Michael had this shoulder thing going on and he's like, man, I'm just going to pray. And he kept moving his strap all around his body trying to find a spot that didn't hurt. And finally I said, get a chair and just sit down. Sit down on a chair. Man, just sit down. Because here's the thing. I'd rather have you fighting on a chair than I would out of the fight. Just sit down. Sit down and look. You're not shooting a gat. You're not slinging a slingshot. Your weapon is spiritual for the tearing down of strongholds. Come on, somebody. See, we don't park cars. We tear down strongholds. Why do we have a party in our parking lot? Why do we create an atmosphere there? Because we believe that from the time you step on any location that we have, that God is already ripping down every defense that Satan has put in your life against you hearing the gospel and applying the gospel. And here's the thing. We don't just park cars. We make ways. All we're doing is parting the Red Sea for you to put your Honda in. You know what I'm talking about? We're about the Father's business. Why? Because we look in our lunchbox and we don't say, what don't I have? We look in our lunchbox and go, I got some fish and some bread. You have more inside you than you've ever given God credit for being there. And when you can really lean in and go, you know what, God, I want you to do what you said you can do in my life. I love this. It said, and taking the 5 loaves and 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said, a blessing. See, when you take everything that's in your lunchbox in your life and you add obedience and then you offer it up to God for Him to bless it, He always multiplies it. Look, when I write these messages, I've never written a message and I'm like, this is a home run. Can I be honest? Most of the messages I write, I go, wow, I feel like this sucks. I don't feel like it's good enough. I mean, I've worked on it all week. I've prayed through it all week, and God, but you know what, God, here's what I want you to do. I want you to take whatever I wrote and you put your thumbprint on it. God, I need you to take what I say and I need you to put the DNA of the Holy Spirit in it so that it changes. Because if it's just me up here talking, dude, you need to go ahead and leave. But man, if the breath of God can speak through people, and I believe it can, that's what gives the ability to change hearts and lives. So what we do is we take whatever, God, if I'm parking cars, I offer it up to you. If I'm ministering to children, I offer it up to you. If I'm doing lyrics like Haley's learning to do this week, come on, Haley, then yeah, come on. Look, we celebrate stuff around here. You know what I'm talking about? We take that and we offer it up to you. God, some people may see it as me clicking buttons. What I do is I see it as bringing the word and the truth and the worship of God. Ma'am, can you anoint my fingers to click better than they're able to? God, can you make my timing your timing? God, Pastor, I feel like you're over-spiritualizing it. No, I feel like you're under-spiritualizing it. Remember last week, we talked about the people that prayed, Father, when Jesus prayed, Father, forgive them, they don't know what they do. And we said, because they did know what they were doing. They were torturing Jesus. Like, you don't accidentally torture somebody. But what they didn't understand was the eternal ramification of that. I think that you don't understand the eternal ramification of your service. Of you opening up the lunchbox of your life and going, God, what do you want to eat out of here? You imagine if you had a sack lunch and you took it to work, and Jesus sat down at the table and said, hey, can I see what's in your bag? Nope, that sandwich is mine. Those Funyuns, they're mine. That Little Debbie Swiss cake roll. Imagine smacking Jesus' hand. No, see, none of us would do that. But what happens when Jesus wants to reach in the lunchbox of your life to be used and you keep smacking his hand away, telling him that you're not qualified, and that he doesn't know what he's talking about? I mean, forget the fact that he formed the world and that before you were in your mother's womb, he knit you together and created you with a purpose and a destiny. Forget all that. You're smart enough to tell God why he can't use you. So here's what I believe. I believe that when you take your natural and couple it with God's super, you get supernatural. But here's the thing. God is super whether you do anything or not. Can I get a witness? Look, whether you ever do anything to serve God or not, God is still super. You ain't going to change that. The difference in humanity seeing supernatural on earth is your willingness to take your natural and put it with his super and be like, God, can you show off? Can you somehow make me the best car parker in the world? God, when somebody gets out of the car, let there be a hurt mama that's coming in here. God, let there be a tired mama that I can just carry a grocery bag, that I can just carry a diaper bag. God, let me tote a baby in the church. Let me hold an umbrella. You know why, God? Because I'm gonna bring them to you. I'm not tearing a hole in the roof to lower my sick friend down. I'm bringing a pregnant mama in the church. I'm helping an old person with a shoulder to lean on or an arm to carry. This is my offering, God. I need you to take my natural act of service and I need you to kiss it with your blessing so that we can see supernatural take place in our church. Does this make any sense? I love this. It said, and they took 12 baskets full of the broken pieces left over. Can I just say this? God, I'll always take your broken pieces and gather them up. You got broken pieces. And what you're trying to do is hide them. And what God's trying to do is collect them so that other people can take the experience and the healing that you've had and carry it into their life. And it said this. It said, verse 21, and those who ate were about 5,000 men besides women and children. So arguably, there's 15 to 20,000 people here that we just fed off a little boy's lunch. Here's the reality. There is more in small things. But the Bible says this, do not despise the day of small beginnings. Look, when we rolled in this joint with 20 people and like 12 of them left because I got a gift, right? Like, we went, look how big this place is. And I was like, we'll outgrow it soon. This ain't gonna be big enough. Because the vision that God has is bigger than what we can contain. But here's what I knew. We had to get a bunch of people putting their natural with his super to show off. We had to let God take some broken places in all of our lives and offer them up as a living sacrifice before the Lord and say, God, we're willing to use a story. We're willing to let people see our scars. We're willing not to put on a mask that says that we're holier than anybody else. What we are willing to say is that Jesus is enough, that Jesus is still the answer for the world. And we believe that Jesus thought that the greatest answer to humanity was the local church, and he still believes it. That's why he calls us his bride. That's why he says that he's coming back for somebody who's holy and spotless. He also says that he's about somebody who's looking for him to come back. What does that mean? That remember the parable of the 10 virgins. You've got enough anointing to get you to the end, but to take some people with you. I think that God gave leftovers because he always wanted to show that a little bit placed with his blessing is more than enough. You may be praying that God makes you valuable, and God said, I'm going to show you that you're more than enough. You may be praying that God lets you have a small impact, and what God will say is, I'll let you have an impact way greater than what you thought. I never will forget the first time I was in here preaching, and we had spools at the time out front. Some of y'all remember the spools. And I looked out, one of our parking lot people were leading somebody to Jesus as we started service. And I went, we're getting there. Because here's the thing, salvation does not have to happen at an altar or in a set of chairs. We want it to happen in a parking lot. I want it to happen in children's ministry. I think the other week we had like 6 or 8 kids give their life to Jesus. We got like you know what I'm saying? Like, here's the thing. Can I be honest? If we come in every week and nobody gets saved, whether it's online or in-house, I'm disappointed. I'm like, God, where did we? Because I believe that we are a healing spot. Now, are all those people going to go here? No, but we're not building our castle. We're building his kingdom. If we ain't the thing for you, we'll help you find where you need to be. And that's not threatening to me. Here's the thing. I'm about my Father's business because I think that I've got enough natural coupled with his super to make up anything we're ever going to lose. I think that you've got enough natural coupled with his super that, man, we don't have to be insecure. We see Jesus moving. I can't wait to see how many people we baptize. I want to baptize so many people, we got to change water. No, I'm not joking. I would love to see people that have never made a public confession of their faith. Man, let's do it. Jay was kidding. He's like, In rehearsal, we were talking, and he said, yeah. He said, I'm going to get a shirt or something that says, I got dunked. And I'm like, that could happen. I got dunked for Jesus. Can you imagine wearing that into a shirt, into a restaurant, and then be like, what does that mean? Oh, let me tell you. Let me tell you. Let me tell you, I was blind, but now I see. I was deaf, but now I hear. Because somebody took their little bit of talent and they coupled it with God's super, and it had a supernatural impact into my life. And now I'll never be the same. Now I've got to go take my natural and couple it with God's super so I can give that same thing to somebody else. I love it. I love Matthew 26, 6 through 10, and I won't take a ton of time here, but it said, now when Jesus was at Bethany for the house of Simon the leper, because Jesus always hangs out with people that have problems. You know why? Because the people with problems are the people that are desperate for God to show up. And it said, and a woman came up to him with an alabaster flask of very expensive ointment. They say that was about a year's worth of wages. And it said, and she poured it on his head as he reclined at the table. Now we read this and don't think about it. Can you see Jesus? Can I put it in modern terms? Jesus leaned back in his lazy boy. And this girl walks up and starts pouring. There's no announcement we hear. The lady doesn't even put it in context. Somebody hear what I'm saying? She just walked up and said, I felt like God told me to do this. So. And she starts anointing him. God will always ask you to do things that doesn't make sense that people around you won't understand. When you start serving God, they won't get it. Why you got to spend so much time at church? Why Why you gotta? I wouldn't be giving. All they want is your money. That's not true. Chick-fil-A wants your money. Now listen. Do we want you to tithe and give? Yes, we do. Why? Because we feel like that's your natural coupled with God's super. We'll use it to reach some more people. All it's about for us is nets. We just like catching more and more fish. Not for our glory, but so that hell is robbed and heaven is magnified. But he sits here and he goes this. He goes, it says, and when the disciples saw it, they were indignant, saying, why this waste? Why are you wasting your life at church? Why are you wasting your... Why are you standing out in the cold and the rain parking cars? Why are you holding an umbrella letting somebody else be dry while you're getting soaked? Why are you coming at 7 o'clock on a Sunday morning? Why are you getting up on one of the 2 days you get off a week? Because here's what I believe. I don't believe I have to serve. I believe I get to serve. I believe that God gave me this oil and it's my job to break my box out and pour it to where it's empty, because something I do may bless the Father. Because I'm a son and there are daughters and sons and daughters of Christ that when we do things that please the Father, I love that line in the song, we made our Father smile, that when we worship Him and when we do acts of service and when we emulate Christ by giving up our life so that other people can come closer to Him. I think that when we allow our lives to be that broken, we begin to see what Christ said. And it said this, He said, it's not a waste. Verse 9, it says, for that could have been sold for a large sum of money and given to the poor. But Jesus, aware of this, said to them, I love this, why you trouble this woman? Jesus looks at him and said, was it your oil? Was it your box? How about you shut up? Now, Jesus is nicer than that, right? Can we be honest? Jesus is nicer than I am. But he's like, why do you trouble this woman? For she's done a beautiful thing to me. When are you going to believe so much in the cause that when people criticize you, you're going to look at them and be like, what's my time to you? Can I say this? I'm not here for you. I'm not serving you. I don't answer to you. Here's what I do. I feel like the Lord God Almighty said that I'm supposed to serve. So this is my way of breaking part. Because here's the thing. You don't get a year's worth of oil by accident. She saved up for this. She was intentional. Can you imagine when she went to take it, she made her mind, this is what she's going to do. She knew its value. She knew that once she poured it out, it was either going to be eternal or wasted. Here's what I believe. I believe that you have the opportunity in this season to invest your life or waste it by putting it in a box. I think for you really to have a life that breeds purpose, you're going to have to make a decision to pour yourself out. You're going to have to make a decision to offer your lunch so that somebody else can eat. When that little boy gave his lunch up, there was no guarantee that there was going to be anything left for him. Matter of fact, he probably knew he was going hungry. Are you willing to operate for the kingdom of God, believing that it could even cost you something? Because if you're willing to do that, can I just say this? One, our church will never want for volunteers. If you're not volunteering somewhere, there are 500 people in here with these tags on. They even got their name on them. You act like you know them. You need to walk up and be like, hey, where can I plug in at? You don't have to, listen, you don't have to know Revelation bowls and scrolls. You got to know how to love a baby. I love nursery ministry. You know why? Because I remember what it was like. My wife and I went to a church, one of the first churches I ever pastored. And they had no children's ministry or no nursery ministry at all. She was it. There was one baby in the church. It was ours. So you know what my wife did every week for 3 years? She went in the basement of a church by herself and rocked our baby. Until she came to the youth and family pastor who just happened to be sleeping in the same bed as she did. It was me, by the way, just before I... That's how rumors get started right there. She made this statement. Why do I even bother to come to church all I do is sit in a room by myself. And I said, don't come back until we can meet your need. And I got a group of people together and I said, hey, you're not going to see my wife because nobody in this church is ministering to her. And it's my fault. Not only have I failed the kingdom of God, I failed my wife. Oh, we had a full team the next week. Do you know why? Because people, until you see the passion of your calling, I would volunteer in nursery, not because I like babies, because I'm not particularly great with them, especially the diaper aspect. I can do it, but I only have one kid, and that's like 30 years ago. Like, I used to be able to rodeo that mess. Some of you young parents know what I'm talking about. Oh, it's just poop. Here's what I believe. I believe that in a nursery, I'm speaking life over that kid, but more importantly, I'm giving a mama a chance to go sit with adults and hear the gospel and get some refreshing because she's broken, because she's set up all night, and most of them are going to work all day, and all they need is somebody to love them and to hug them and tell them that they're valuable and this season isn't going to be forever, that one day that kid's going to sleep all night, glory to the living God. But until then, I will be here to hold your baby. I will be here to lift you up. I'm praying for you this week. I've got your six. You're not in this alone, because God never meant life and faith to be done by themselves. Why would I volunteer to park cars? Because I believe this. I believe that if you want to get somebody far away from Jesus, have an insurance claim. Run over a kid. Why do I volunteer? Because what I do matters. Can I say this? I said it a long time ago. I said, I believe that you're here and what you do matters, but I also believe this, that you're here and what you don't do matters. You have the ability today to impact the kingdom of God. The question is, will you answer the call? As we come to close, here's what I want to leave you with. What are you going to do with the box of anointing that you have in your life? Are you going to leave here with the same box you came here with? Or are you going to plug in? Are you going to allow God to multiply your natural and make it supernatural? This is a call to action. This isn't like, Pastor, that's a good message. It's a good message if you plug in. If you're not plugged in, you need to be plugged in. That means you find somebody with one of these. And if you can't find somebody with one of these, you find somebody. Find somebody on a team. And be like, hey, how do I get on your team? You don't have to, we're not asking you to preach. We're just asking you to be a part of a team. Because the discipleship looked a whole lot like a team. Can we pray? Father, today I ask that you give all of us the vision. God, give us a vision to serve. God, give us a vision to be part of the solution. God, don't let us be like in the parable of the talents, Father, the person that took their talent and buried it in the sand. God, let us be willing to risk all that we have for you. God, let us sacrifice some time. Let us sacrifice some freedom. God, let us sacrifice some stuff. Because you're not only the Lord of our life, God, you're our Savior. Because you saved us, we give you the right to tell us what to do. And God, I believe this, that you can multiply our rest and you can multiply our enjoyment with our family, God, when we offer a part of our life back to you. God, not just for our glory, but God, so that we can make you famous in everything that we do. With every head still bowed, nobody looking around. If you're here today and you say, you know what, Pastor, I'm not where I'm supposed to be with God. Whether you're here or you're online, you're like, you know what, Pastor, I am not where I need to be. Will you slip your hand up right now? We just want to pray with you. We're not going to embarrass you. We're not going to call you down front. We just want to make sure to pray with you. Can we pray together across this building? Dear Heavenly Father, right now, I invite you into my life. Ask you to forgive me of my sins. Make me right with you. Today, I confess that you're my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Give these folks a round of applause. Biggest decision you can make. If you're one of the folks online or here in house that raised your hand, you can email us at amen@thrivechurchonline. We would love to connect you with somebody to help disciple you. If you're also in-house, you can find somebody with one of those magic lanyards on. They're not really magic, but we like to think they're special. And we can help get you connected with somebody that will disciple you. But if you're online, again, be sure to email us and we'll get you connected. God bless you so much.
Thank you for being part of our Thrive Tribe. If you want to partner with this ministry and what the Lord is doing here at Thrive, visit thrivechurchonline.com and click on the Give tab. Help us reach more people just like you by rating and subscribing to this podcast. You don't want to miss what's coming next.